Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at what should be the real Voldemort, but it's Aaron M. Raybould. We got to get this fixed by the third hour. I just has to be done. You could also text the show. You know the number for that. You missed the first hour. We talked with our new producer, Aaron, about how we're going to welcome him to the club with the rite of passage, as it were. We've come up with some ideas. We'll work on that. And we talked a little sports. Pretty much it.
Do you have a certain direction that you're hoping this this next segment will go?
Why, are you going to take it down the toilet for me?
Well, it wasn't. I wasn't going to take it down the toilet per se.
No, I have. I honestly, I got about 50 things we could talk about, or whatever you want to do. I'm all about. Let's just roll with it. It's a Tuesday.
What are your thoughts on Liam Neeson and what's going on with him?
That was on my list.
Perfect. I'd love to hear from the black delegation on this. I've been accepted by the culture. I know that we have a lot of black listeners that you probably didn't have before I came here to be your co-host, Fred. But now we have a nice African-American following. So I would like to hear from some of you. Your thoughts on Liam Neeson and whether or not his career is going to be salvageable, or if is he basically going the same route that
Let's not tell people what happened for those of you who aren't familiar with the story.
So basically what happened was he says 40 years ago. So we're talking like, which this also disturbed me. 40 years ago was like, almost, I was almost born. He said about 40 years ago. So like probably late 70s, early 80s. He was told that he was friends with someone who was raped. And when they talked about who it was, she didn't recognize him. She told him that it was a black man. And he said that he walked around for weeks just hoping that a black man would spark an altercation with him because he wanted to kill him. Now, I don't know if he would have had this same vibe if she had said, oh, he was a white man. Like, would he have just been waiting for any white man to stir it up with him? I tend to think no, but I don't know. But Liam, he's obviously, I don't know why you tell that story.
Where's the point of that?
That may be one you want to tuck in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Just so we don't have to have this conversation. But B, I mean, he says, I'm ashamed to say that. I did it for maybe a week, hoping some, in air quotes, black bastard would come out of a pub and have a go at me about something, you know, so that I could kill him. It's awful, but I did learn a lesson from it. I don't know. I mean, how people will take that.
Well, two thoughts on this, and I'd like to hear from the people on this, to be honest with you. He would have been 26 years old.
Okay.
So that's not, you know.
He's not a child.
He's not a child anymore. And when someone rapes a friend of yours, yeah, you want revenge.
But you can't
want revenge on the guy who did it.
Right.
Not a race.
So, yeah.
I mean, and he says, I'm not racist. This was nearly 40 years ago. Well, you know what? I don't care. You were 26 years old. You should have You know, I get the vengeful part, believe me, but...
Well, let's ask this question. If you were racist when you were 26, does that mean you're racist now?
No, but when I was 26, I never said I was going to go kill a certain race over something.
Well, now, this is an interesting question. Interesting question that is presented by the other Gilbert. he sent us the story about Jada Pinkett Smith saying blonde hair on white women just triggers her. It triggers deep-seated prejudice in her that she's carried since she was a child. White women understand what it feels like to be oppressed because of their sex. She said, "Oh, I have to admit I'm guilty to a certain degree. I do have my own biases, specifically to blonde women. Blonde hair on white women just triggers me, and I've had to catch myself." Is that any different?
Not really.
Not really, right? Yeah. So, I mean, Jada's doing fine. I don't know. And D. Trent says, "I really don't care about Liam Neeson. I mean, who hasn't been that mad that they wanted to kill off a race? He didn't do it, so it really don't matter. Just not surprised." I don't know if I've ever been so mad that I wanted to kill off an entire race. In fact, I'm pretty sure, no, not me.
No, I've been
mad at black guys before. I've been mad at Hispanic guys. I've been mad at white guys.
But I don't get mad at the other white guys, Hispanic guys, or black guys. I get mad at those guys in particular. Nazis?
I mean...
They just run around in tiki torches now, so there's not much of a threat. So.
Mr. Gray says he had weeks to take out his frustration. He didn't want those problems. His anger was justified, but his intentions might have gotten raped as well by a black guy in jail. Now, that's true, too. And he said with Robin Roberts, I think it was Good Morning America, that's Robin Roberts, right? I don't watch morning television. I just saw the clip where he says, it could have gotten me killed. You know, he didn't. Maybe he's not the Liam Neeson in Taken. He doesn't have all those skills that he's got. He might have just got his ass whooped.
Yeah. Somebody says it is wrong, but it was just thoughts and not action, and he learned.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I hope we all continue to learn every day.
Which, my God, that's why I can't imagine why he would feel the need to say that out loud. Like, had he actually, like, attacked a black man because he was randomly black and a black person raped his friend, you could be like, oh, man, that's really troubled. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know. I'm a white guy, so I don't really know what.
Yeah,
I mean, if I were a black guy, maybe I would have a different feel about this. But it seems. I mean, when you compare it to the Jada Pinkett Smith thing, it seems kind of similar.
I don't know what his point was because there's nothing positive that's going to come out of that story.
What's funny is in the Jada Pinkett Smith story, she says, "I was going to do an interview with this blonde woman, and I thought about it. I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. This was my first instinct because of how she looked. And I was like, oh, that's no different. That doesn't give me the right to clump all blonde women in one. It's no different than you getting robbed by a black guy once. And now you're saying all black dudes are thieves and dangerous." Well, I mean, that's kind of what Liam Neeson is saying, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He thought about it. And then he was like, wait, that's dumb. I don't know. I'm not mad at Liam Neeson. But again, I'm a white guy, so Jermaine says F Liam Neeson, so he's team F Liam Neeson. That's all right too. Who am I to judge?
Does this mean we're not gonna be able to watch Taken 4?
I don't know. The only way Taken 4 will be successful if Chris Hart is Kevin Hart is his sidekick. Kevin Hart, not Kevin James.
Who's Chris Hart?
Chris Hart hosts the Whiskey Neat podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But Chris Hart, he's a horrible actor. Kevin Hart, though, can be Liam Neeson's sidekick in Taken 4. Or Liam Neeson can save a black person in Taken 4. How would that, be okay?
Maybe.
Or a black person could save Liam Neeson. Huh? Get at me, directors. Get at me, Hollywood. I got you.
Yeah, 409 has a really good point. He's an actor, and I don't really care what they think, do, or say, and most are stupid and don't live in our reality. That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair. So.
Let's see. I don't know. I'm not going to do that one, I don't think. Let's talk to Kendrick.
I don't know if he's ready yet. So you have to have the check mark there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hey, Kendrick. Kendrick?
Yes, I'm there.
By the way, I apologize in advance. I only picked Kendrick because I felt like that was a black guy name. I'm no better than Liam Neeson. I said I wanted to hear from the black delegation, and I saw Kendrick's name, and I said, oh, he's got to be black. I don't know what's... apologies, Kendrick. Are you a black man?
I am a black man, and I love the show.
Of course you do. What do you think of Liam Neeson?
I was a fan, to be quite honest. Not much of a fan after the statement came out.
But do you give him some credit for saying, you know what? It was really stupid of me. I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, it was just this, because it was his natural instinct at the time. And
I will give him credit for that. But I also want you guys to understand that this is the fear that black people walk around with every day. That someone who is upset at the race is right. going to take it out on anyone else in the race.
No, I get that. What are your?
And that's something you don't want to live with.
Do you think what we're talking about with Jada Pinkett Smith, do you think that is equal?
All right. Well, I'm going to hang up and listen, guys.
No, okay.
I didn't want to answer that one.
No comment on that one.
Hmm. Oh, well.
I see you owe you, Mike. I'm going to do you a favor and not take your call on this. You're not banned from this show or anything like that. Like, apparently you are on some other shows. But I'm just going to do you a solid and say we'll pass on this one.
Yeah. Nothing good can come out of it.
I mean, that's all I'm thinking is like, what's the upside on that? And I'm going to go minimal upside.
No upside. It's not minimal. There's no upside. There's only downside to that.
I got to be honest. The rest of these names look like white guy names, so I'm a hard pass on them too.
Yeah. I think give you some advice. Just go home and get drunk tonight, but make sure you take your Cheers.
Oh, good call.
And a lot of people still asking, well, what happened to Thrive Plus? It's now Cheers. The name has changed, the branding's changed. Same great product. That same great product you've been using now for months whenever you drink. And it reduces the negative effects of alcohol. And there's 60% of Americans who drink. I'm certainly one of them. And I take Thrive. I take Cheers every time that I'm going to have alcohol because it works. You don't have to take my word for it. It was developed by a team of 5 PhDs and Ivy League scientists. You probably saw them on Shark Tank. And if you don't feel at least 50% better the next day, they're going to give you your money back. You just take 3 capsules after your last alcoholic beverage or before you go to bed. And it works. Trust me. And you can take more than 3 if you want. And it works even better. To order Cheers, you just go to cheershealth.com. That's cheershealth.com. And if you order before 4 o'clock, it's going to be on your doorstep the next day. With Cheers, you're going to feel better when you wake up. Your liver's going to thank you. I tell you what, man, there's no way I could do all the stuff that I do in the morning without having Cheers if I'm drinking the night before. I don't drink without Cheers. Neither should you. Cheershealth.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I think somebody said it wouldn't have been so bad. It's just some of the language he used made it like sound worse than... I think I wanted to find the
black bastard thing. Yeah, yeah. That's probably made it a bad way to word it.
In general, I think we tend to overreact to what people say these days. It's like everything has to become a story. Some of it, I just, you know,
Like,
I don't care what Kobe Bryant says about the Rockets. It means nothing to me.
Right.
Really, what he said means nothing to me. I just find it curious that why would you do that? I mean, it just makes you sound a little off.
Amos says Jada didn't say she wanted to kill anyone. That's the difference. I mean, that does make it different, but it's essentially the same thing. You're judging someone based on appearance or race. That's the whole point.
Yeah, I at no point if something happens, should you take your anger out on a race? Take it out on the person who did it.
Candy says people do this all the time. When cops do things people don't like, it's automatically war on cops. When they say a white man did something bad, it's a war on them. A black guy, same thing. Maybe he came out with this to teach people, judge people by who they are, not the race. But yeah, I mean, that is true. If there's one bad cop, everyone's like, oh, cops are the bad guy. And especially now, my God, now let someone who's in this country, an immigrant in this country, commit a crime right now. That's attached to every immigrant in this country.
Yeah.
So it's not fair. But Brother Bear says every day, everyone's an individual. A bad stormy day, my coworker drove the company van into the ditch. The least likely person to stop and use his chain to pull us out was covered in Nazi and rebel flag tattoos. True event. Well, maybe had some regrets about his Nazi tattoos. I don't know.
But people can change. And,
yeah.
And I think if you're trying to send a message to get people to change, then that's fine. I don't get the sense that that was the case. I'm not really sure what the point was. And maybe it was just in the delivery. Maybe that's...
Oh, he definitely didn't deliver it properly.
No.
In a way that he was like... He didn't deliver it in a sympathetic way for sure. Like, no one feels bad for you when you're like... I wanted to find a black bastard and kill him with, I don't know what that weapon he was talking about was, because I'm not.
I mean, I do believe if you're trying to send a message, hey, I used to have hatred in my heart towards people for this reason. And, you know, I learned from that and changed. Okay, that's great. But he certainly didn't deliver it that way. It didn't come off that way.
Let's talk to, I'm going to blow that one. Kayvon? Sorry, bro.
Hello.
Hi, sports.
Yes, this is Siobhan.
Siobhan.
So you said it right the first time.
Okay.
Thank you so much for taking my call. So this is my concern. We're talking about one person, and then you all brought in Jada Pinkett. And that's a way of deflecting.
Oh, first of all, I didn't bring it in. Someone sent that as a tweet to compare and contrast. I didn't even know that story until today.
Okay. And so the summary that I'm receiving has been what you all said. I hadn't read it or anything like that. Well, let me just disagree with the tweet then. That's similar to the R. Kelly accusation. And then people began to bring in Harvey Weinstein, if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. Say it again, I'm sorry.
Weinstein. Yeah.
And so it almost takes some of the heat off of R. Kelly. And we're deflecting. So to that particular person that tweeted, I just think let's focus on the topic. It's not Jada. And I believe that the situation is different because she didn't say that she wanted to kill someone behind it. So the conversation, of course, would be different if he was stating that, you know, he actually did or something like that.
I mean, obviously, had he done it, it's a completely different conversation. But I do think that with the Jada thing, even though there was no desire to kill, it's still sort of the same thing when you're looking at, you know, saying, well, I wanted to treat this person differently because she was white. She had blonde hair. So that's a...
Thanks for the call. You know what, though? She brings up a great point. I hate the well, what about this person thing?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting because I'd never seen that story. It wasn't that old.
But it has become something that people do way too much of.
Yeah, it is deflection.
And it's almost like, well, I'm not going to defend this person, but by way of defending them is say, well, what about this person?
That happens with politics, too.
Oh, God, it happens with everything.
Yeah, she is right about that.
Yeah, so I'm glad she brought that up.
Philip, sports Philip.
Sports guys,
what's going on?
I just
man?
Wanted to say, you know, I am black, and I had this conversation with my coworker this morning. He's also African-American. And we were talking about the Liam Neeson thing. And we both agreed that he should have, you know, been just upset with the person who did the rape.
Right.
But he shouldn't have generalized it with all. But I was still saying that, you know, we all, if we want to be honest with ourselves, we all have a problem at some point with another person or race or whatever. But most of the time, we don't say it out loud. I don't know what he was thinking about when he disclosed that.
I don't either. That's the biggest head scratcher to me is, why do you say that out loud? But I mean, I do think there is something to. I mean, I don't know. The guy coming out and saying, "I realize I was wrong for even thinking this."
Yeah. I can't really gauge intent from this, but you know, I think if that was what your message was going to be, you just did a bleepy job of it.
Yeah.
That's all. And somebody brought up, 832 brought up American History X. If you don't think people can change, go watch that movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I thought was a really well done movie and extremely, in an extreme racist situation. If you haven't seen that, go watch American History X.
Leroy.
Yeah, guys, I was calling in. I listen to the show all the time because I'm a truck driver, so you know I have to listen to you guys all day. And I appreciate the conversation.
I kind of thank you for that. I can't tell if you it feels like you've got a gun to your head when you're listening, but I appreciate it anyway.
No, I mean, you know, you guys have certain overtones sometimes, but that's fine. We all have. I just want to say, I'm not. What is the guy named Neeson?
Liam Neeson.
I know his movies. But what is it?
Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I watch his movies. I never knew his name. I just knew him was the white guy.
The guy from Taken. Movies. Yeah.
Right. But I'm not mad at him because, you know, I work with a lot of people and, you know, I've dated all kind of races and. I just being honest, man. Most white women that I dated, their fathers thought like that. Like if a black guy did something on, like robbed the bank. See, there they go again. Like I would get that all the time. I'm not saying all you guys think like that, but that's a pretty common thread in America as far as white male thinking. And that's why I'm not mad at him. And not you know that's why Trump was elected because he has the same thought process as a lot of people in middle America. So, I mean, that just we have to just look at reality, man. It is what, people have biases. That's what this country was built on.
Let me ask you this, you know? Because I lived in New Mexico, and I had some friends that were Navajos, and I couldn't go inside their houses because their parents had a built-in bias that I was they would call me the white devil.
Right. That was
so, and I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know what it's like in a black house or a Hispanic house.
Can I say something? I had that same thing happen to me with a Mexican friend. His mom hated black people. She called them pinche negros. And we went one time going. They had a fiesta party at the house, and when they were, it was me and I'm the only black guy, and there's a whole group of Mexican guys. And so we're walking in. I'm like behind, and all of a sudden she's smiling and she's kissing everybody, speaking in Spanish, and she saw me. She said, "Oh, y'all go back outside." And then I was like, "Hey," everybody was like confused. And then the guy, one of my guys, Flacco, skinny boy, he just told me he's always blatantly, you know, brutally honest. He was like, "Man, she just don't like black people, dude. They're not going to tell you, but I'm just being real with you." So I'm just not saying it's not just a white thing. It's a black thing. It's an American thing, man. We got to get past this, brother. Unless we get honest with the conversation, we're going to always have this problem.
Before you hang up, one question. How old are you? Just out of curiosity.
I'm 42.
Okay.
So I've seen a lot of racism in my life on all sides. And I got to be honest with you. I've seen more racism from Hispanics than I think. I've just been real with you, man, coming up. I mean, even with some white guys, contractors, they'll hire Hispanics over white guys because they feel like they can get a better employee from a Hispanic. So, I mean, it happens. It's a bias. So it is what it is, brother.
All right. Yeah, I do think when I was growing up, there was, and I'm a little older than him.
A little?
Not that much. It's a decade.
That guy's barely older than me.
Well, I said 42. So I'm 12 years older than him. That's not, I think there was a lot of that when I was growing up, even from, like, the first girl I dated, her dad found out I was half Arabic and basically threatened to kill me if I ever came around her again.
Well, so like for me, it turned out I actually was the white devil. So yeah, those Navajo moms were right that I actually was a white devil, but they thought all white people were white devils.
Yeah, I'm kind of a half white devil.
Right.
So...
All right, guys, listen, I got to tell you about Man Centers, the Y Factor presented by Man Centers. If you are struggling, if you're not, you're having a tough time getting through the day, you don't have a bunch of energy at work, you don't have a bunch of energy in the gym, you're struggling in the bedroom maybe, could be low testosterone, and you don't need injections. The synthetic injections, they damage fertility, they cause dependency, long-term health issues, shrinkage, and you're always going to have to go back or you're going to crash. Nobody wants that crash. Then you're like fiending for the next shot of testosterone. Who needs that in their life? Man Centers, what they're doing is they're enhancing your body's natural ability to produce its own testosterone again. They've got three locations for you to check out. Houston at Katy Freeway and Campbell in the Memorial area, off 249 in Tomball, and now open in Webster. The Y Factor, presented by Man Centers, the home of the free general male wellness checkup. That's $150 value. Go in there and get checked out for free. Call today to set up your appointment, 832-358-8600, or go to mancenters.com to book it online. The Y Factor, presented by Man Centers, helping men lead better, more fulfilling lives.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Behold the King, the King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. And before we get to Jerome, I'll just say, usually I'm not a fan of, oh, so-and-so said this. Let's, you know, I don't really care what half these people say. But you know what? Sparked a pretty good little conversation there.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
Yeah, and I thought we had some good calls and good thoughts on it. All right, here's a guy who always has good thoughts on everything. It's been a while. Our good friend Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle columnist. Follow him on Twitter, @JeromeSolomon. What's going on, my man?
What's up, fellas?
Sports and Liam Neeson and stuff.
I'm nice and sportsy, too.
Yeah. Are you mad at Liam Neeson?
No.
Okay.
I haven't dug deep into it, but it ain't that deep.
Yeah.
It's from what I saw. I mean, maybe there's something there that I haven't seen, but I honestly, I pay so little attention to these things, and I've been busy and I haven't had time. But what I saw, I was like, I walked out of the house thinking that my dog's going to suffer a couple of days. You know, we need to relax, especially when it's somebody from what I, like I said, based on only the little thing that I saw, like he's talking about how much of an idiot he was at the time. What else do you want to do?
Yeah, my only beef was in the delivery. It didn't come off that way.
But. I think the weirdest thing is that he decided he needed to say it out loud.
Video of it or something, or?
Yeah, he was. There's a video you can watch. He was on Good Morning America with Robin Roberts this morning, and I mean, he says I wanted to kill the black bastard. It was like, oh, that's probably not a great way to say it. But I thought it was weird that he even brought it up, like. You could have just kept that in your back pocket and, you know, been one of those things. Well, no one ever knows that I had these feelings when I was 40 years. Like, that's like going home and telling your wife, babe, I thought real hard about cheating on you today. I saw this chick and it was there for the taking.
Right.
Who does that?
Do that? But 30 years later, you say, you know what? I was a fool for thinking that way, but I didn't do it. Should she really hold that against
you? How mad can she be? Right, that's what I'm kind of saying.
You know, and maybe she would be, but I'm better than that. I'm a better person than the rest of the people out there. I'm like, whatever, dude. Did you go out and hit somebody upside the head with a baseball bat? No?
No.
Okay. All right, cool. You're all right, then. I'm not going to punish you for some ridiculous thought, some ridiculous 30-year-old thought, you know?
All right, Jerome Solomon, let's get to some sports, because I'm hoping you can answer this for me, because nobody's been able to, but... Who the hell is this guy, your Texans made offensive coordinator?
Before I do research on it,
he is the least qualified offensive coordinator in the NFL. That's my theory, and I'm sure that once I research it, I'll find out that that is indeed the case, because you got to be kidding me. Now, he might be a genius. And, of course, the only person to recognize that genius is Bill O'Brien. So give Bill O'Brien some credit. And now my devious thought is Bill O'Brien hired somebody, clearly, well, not even devious. This is a fact. He hired somebody that he can control, and, you know, he's running things anyway, but he has an offensive coordinator. The devious thought is he has somebody that will give him somebody that we can blame. So all the times we're dogging Bill O'Brien in the offense, now I have to blame this other guy, you know, because that's just the way it's going to be. And Bill O'Brien may have bought himself some time because he gets to fire this offensive coordinator before he gets run. And he gets to say, oh, we hired a guy who wasn't ready to do it, and it was our mistake. Let's find somebody else. So I don't know. Like I said, the guy could be great, but we have no evidence of that right now.
Jerome Solomon is our guest, and we've talked a lot about what the Texans need to do in the offseason. And in your mind, can they fix everything in this offseason with the offensive line, or is this going to be a project that's going to take 2 or 3 years?
No, I think you can fix everything. That's the nature of the NFL. You know, as much as we talk about the parity and it's meant to push people toward the middle, it's also when you're in the middle, which is where the Texans, you know, have been for the last 4 or 5 years, and then this year they kind of stepped a little above the middle. Even that 4-12 season, people ride that about they only won 4 games. They were not a 4-win team, talent wise. It just fell to that. They were really a middle of the road team, and so yeah, they're a middle of the road team, and you have salary cap space. What is it? The top 6 or 7 in the league with cap space. You have some draft picks. Yeah, you ought to be able to fix what you need to be able to make a run. I mean, you know, you can do it. Whether they do it or not is a whole different question, but yeah, you ought to be able to do that. You know, the Patriots lost their best offensive lineman last offseason, and Tom Brady still hadn't gotten touched. You know, the Rams needed a whole lot of stuff and went out and got a whole lot of stuff. Signed free agent guys, and Ndamukong Suh, and, you know, on and on and on, and picked up players, Flowers and other players off the street almost, and made a couple of trades for guys that, you know, with quote-unquote, you know, character issues, and they turned out to be great defensive players for Wade Phillips. So, yeah, you can fix what you need if you are determined to do it with a team like the Texans, because it's not like you need 20 players. You're not, you know, the bottom rung of the NFL. You're in the middle where you need 4 or 5 good players at certain positions. They only need like 2 or 3 good offensive linemen to make the other guys look better. Whether they'll do them or not, I don't know. They didn't get one last year or the year before.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, was that your column? I think it was last week about how here's how the Rams went out and grabbed people, and that's what the Texans need to do. Was that you?
Yeah. I mean, and they're in a good position to be able to do that because they do have a strong locker room. They do have leadership across the board. I dog Bill O'Brien more than anybody, but he is a coach that can handle, I think, a player with some issues. You know, because Bill O'Brien has set a tone for what he wants the team to be like off the court, off the field. He's a good off the field head coach. I mean, a really good one, a better than average one in that sense. So yeah, they shouldn't be afraid to go out and find players that fit in. And they have the salary cap space to do it. They've got the money to go out there and get it. They just have to find the right guys and make it happen. The Rams, two cornerbacks, they went out and got. You got to go get that. If the Texans need cornerbacks, they need offensive linemen, and they could use a receiver. That's not a huge shopping list. But I will tell you this: that, you know, cliche about you got to build from the draft. Yeah, you build from the draft, but you don't become a winner just from the draft. They're not going to draft
they can draft all offensive linemen and still have the worst offensive line in the league this year. That's not going to do it.
One more before we let you go. Obviously, we're getting close to pitchers and catchers reporting. Do you see the Astros? Do you see any more moves here before we get to the start of the spring training?
I would say no, but the way baseball is turned on itself, and there's so many quality players still out there and who haven't signed, I'm almost going to be surprised if they don't make another move, just because, you know, they're not afraid to do that. They have money that they're willing to spend, and, you know, guys are going to get desperate. There could be some players who decide, man, I'd rather go get a check than sit here, and the agent is like, wait, the money will come. I bet you there will be a couple of surprise signings from guys who decide they want to start getting paid right now and will take lesser money. And the Astros is the kind of team that you would take less money from because you know they're a legitimate contender. You wouldn't take less money to go play for a team at the bottom of the standings. So I wouldn't have expected that before, but there's just too many quality players who are not going to be ready to report with, you know, when the players show up in spring training. I'd almost be surprised if they don't add not a superstar, but a really good quality player. And I've even started getting a whole lot of feelings that they might be back in the mix for a couple of their other guys who, you know, the Marlon Gonzalez and Dallas Keuchel, guys who should have signed somewhere else by now, and now that they haven't, you know, their price has to be coming down, right?
You would think. So, all right. That's Jerome Salmon. Jerome, definitely good to have you back, my friend, and look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Enjoy it, gentlemen. Anytime.
All right.
Bad news.
Yeah.
Bad news if you're Vince Young.
Yeah.
Another DWI.
Oh, no.
Fort Bend County.
Oh, boy.
Pulled over at 4 a.m. Was booked at Fort Bend County Jail before posting bail and being released. This was early Monday morning, apparently.
After the Super Bowl, he went out and...
Yep. Vince... pleaded no contest to drunk driving in 2016 and was sentenced to 18 months probation. So, I mean, that's good. Mm. He was off that.
Yeah, yeah.
He later apologized and said he understood the seriousness of the situation, but he decided to go for it again.
It happens.
I don't know what Vince's money situation is like these days, but Ubering ain't that expensive.
No. All right. Even with the surge pricing that I'm sure they did after the Super Bowl. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The King of Kings.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. And you were throwing a perfect game until that.
What happened?
I got caught up working on the rewind.
Played the Jerome song again.
Mm.
So, oh well. As things go, that's like giving up a two-run homer. It's not a grand slam or anything. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
So Jermaine sent me this one. So if you don't like it, we'll blame him.
Okay.
I
hate it.
How'd you like to win the lottery?
I mean, that'd be cool.
50 grand worth, right?
Okay, yeah.
You'd be okay with that?
I mean, I'd rather win one of those lotteries where it's like, you know, 28 million, but...
Yeah, but you'd take 50 grand.
Sure, 50 grand and works.
That's what a 33-year-old Canadian woman did. She won a $50,000 scratch-off prize. However, she stole a credit card to do it. And guess what? She was arrested as she tried to claim the winning ticket.
Whoops.
She now faces 2 counts of possessing a stolen credit card and 5 counts of fraud. But they confirmed that the ticket was purchased there and $50,000. But it was all started last Wednesday when police were called by a man who said his wallet was stolen. His credit cards were used to make several purchases at stores, including a lottery ticket. And police said the woman did not receive the money. In fact, an eyewitness to the arrest said she never made it close to the lottery office before 4 police cars surrounded the vehicle she was in. Yeah, you know, that's a pretty good way to you could do a sting operation like that.
Yeah.
Like if you saw they use them on lottery tickets, you fake the thing so that they go and try to cash it and then arrest them. But the $50,000 goes back into the unclaimed prize account, which goes toward future jackpots. So this was in
Didn't do her any good.
Nope. But let this be a lesson. Don't use stolen credit cards to buy lottery tickets, because even if you win, you lose. In this case, you wasn't going to get caught, probably.
Yeah.
And this was in Newfoundland in Canada.
Canada.
Oh, geez. So that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Yeah, I love that. For one thing, I don't really like lottery guy and woman. And when I go to the store and I'm going to grab a Bang and some Gatorade.
Yeah.
When lottery guy's in front of me, I'll take 2 of those and 4 of those. And I want, what's that $2 one down there? What's that? And they'll come in, they'll win like $4 and then spend all $4 on more lottery tickets.
Drives me insane.
And yeah, and they take forever at it. Or can you check my numbers? Even though there's a thing right there that says check your numbers, and you can do it online. So somebody said, I thought you can't buy lottery tickets with credit cards. You can't in Texas. Texas, it has to be cash or debit. That much I know.
Okay.
But I don't know the rules of Newfoundland and Labrador.
Is Tuesday, hey man, bleep that?
Yeah, it is. You got one?
Yeah, I had one today. I wanted to make sure, because I was going to use the story
No, this is definitely a hey man bleep that day.
Okay.
And Aaron, you're going to have one too, just so you know.
You have one, Aaron?
I do.
Okay, good. Okay. Look at him. You're prepared. Good.
Well, you see, now you're teasing ahead to an hour away from now.
Sorry. That's a bit of an excessive radio tease, but I just wanted to make sure that if we weren't going to do that, sometimes I lose track of what day it is. So
right.
Let's say I was thinking, oh, we got to do death in the last segment. Now I can't do this story that I wanted to get to.
Unless it's a death.
There was a death in the story.
Okay, so.
But I guess it would have worked either way.
Death is tomorrow. Hoffman on Hollywood is Thursday.
I know Monday and Thursday pretty well.
And Friday is stupid stuff.
Yeah.
So there you go. Very, very easy. Speaking of which, Thursday we'll be out at Gulf Greyhound Park. Come check us out. Friday we'll be at Sam Houston Race Park from 4 to 7. And then Saturday is the book release party at Around the Corner in East Downtown. So come on out. Bring your book. It'll sign it. And I'll sign it. And if you haven't bought one yet, we will have some for sale. It's going to be a great party. Have some Carbach. It's going to be awesome.
Good times.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Ashton says, back in the day, a sting operation suckered criminals into showing up to be arrested by the feds by giving them free Washington tickets. Like the Redskins?
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, I've seen sting operations where they try to tell you you've won something and about half of the knuckleheads will show up. Most of them kind of realize, this is not a great idea.
Hey, do you want to address what your daughter's the sweetheart of some fraternity?
What?
Did you not know that?
I knew she was, yeah, I didn't. I didn't know she was up for it.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I mean, she's kind of the...
That's not a good feeling, though, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't... Well, I mean, I don't know.
You don't, this isn't a great conversation for you?
I don't really know how did you see, because she hadn't tweeted about it.
She Facebooked it.
Oh, okay.
You haven't checked your Facebook lately?
No, I don't. I'm almost never on Facebook. I people send me messages on Facebook all the time, and I almost never see them. It's like, just send them to me on Twitter, and I'll see them. But, yeah, I knew she was up for it. It's like, I don't really know what it means other than that she's just...
I mean, I know you know what you hope it doesn't mean.
I don't know, man. It's some social thing. I don't know enough about it for you to make fun of.
Okay.
So... I'm sorry. I mean,
I just wanted to make you uncomfortable.
I know. You want to make me uncomfortable.
The bit worked.
But
it's all good.
Well, it didn't because
you didn't play along is why.
I didn't play along because I honestly don't know about it. I just know that she was up for it. I didn't even know she won because I haven't checked Facebook. And you know, congratulations
then.
She tweets stuff. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
If it's a good thing, I mean, congratulations to her.
Well, I think it's something she wanted, so yeah.
Well, there you go. You know what I want?
New job?
No. I mean, don't try to push me out.
I kind of want you to get a new job.
God, you're such a salty Sally. guys, if you own your home, listen to the words that come out of my mouth and grab your smartphone. Our friends over at TGS Insurance Agency, they're about to deliver big savings on your home policy, all without ever talking to an agent. It used to take hours to get a reliable home quote. Someone came along, made it 15 minutes to save a few percent. TGS Insurance, they've built a new system, gives you a firm insurance quote in just 15 seconds. 15 seconds? You can't beat that. Come on, man. Text your phone. Grab your phone right now. Text the word money. M-O-N-E-Y. What you're going to do is they'll reply back and say, hey, what's your address? You send your address, and then all of a sudden, they send you a quote in 15 seconds. Excellent coverage. You're going to save money. Text the word money to 232323. The company and the savings are legit. Online rating, nearly perfect. Average customer from last year saved over $825. Can you use $825? I could. Guys, get on this. You don't need to wait until your renewal. TGS Insurance will take care of the back end so you can free your mind and start fattening your wallet. One more time, text the word money to 232323 and get your home insurance quote. Start saving big today.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys.